relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news. Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
Oh, it's great to be here. I want to give a big warm thank you to my friend Seb, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who is out on a much-deserved vacation today, I believe vacationing somewhere in New England, lucky guy. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here with you. We have a terrific show for you today. We have Lord Conrad Black. We have Corey Lewandowski. We have Gordon Chang here today. And we also have Jenna Ellis. And we have you, the viewer. And I encourage you to be part of this conversation. So call in, feel free, anytime, 1-833-33-GORKA. Trish Regan here with you today. You know, we've got a lot of news, a lot of news. There's never a shortage of that, right, these days? Today, a Supreme Court decision that we've got to talk about. Supreme Court is deciding that New York City can get its hands on the president's tax records. The decision was announced today, coming down from the Supreme Court. And I will tell you, I got some concerns about this. You know, first of all, let's keep in mind what a politically charged environment we're in right now. Right. People are upset because President Trump hasn't released his tax records. And they say, well, every other person who ran for the office of the presidency in modern times has released their tax records. You know, I would point out that no other president in modern times has run a multinational private company. Right. And no other president has had the wealth that this one has had. So it's a little more complicated, right? You're not just like the community organizer that Barack Obama was. You know, you're not a small-time lawyer. You are running a big multinational corporation with businesses all over the world. And so this president, you know, I understand, has been a little more reluctant to release his tax records. Let me ask you this. Do we have to? I mean, what about privacy, right? Do we actually want to discourage business people from running for president? I mean, frankly, I'd kind of prefer somebody who had a little experience out there in the world other than politics, right? Other than community organization. Somebody who actually has had to meet a payroll. There's something to be said for that. And we want to encourage more people that have done other things, not just been lifelong politicians, to run for office. But if it's such a miserable experience, and you know it is, then why would they do it, right? So I think that we have to think about the long-term complications of all these things. You know, don't mistake this, I would say, for being anything other than politics. You know, and don't forget, and the Democrats need to remember this, it works both ways, right? In other words, there are members of Congress out there that want their hands so desperately on tax records to try and expose him, Donald Trump, for whatever they think it is he may have done. I mean, he's guilty of everything, right, in their eyes. Absolutely anything and everything. So they have that agenda. But don't forget that goes both ways, right? So they ought to be thinking about, well, what happens in the future to their candidates? How much are they at risk? In other words, we as a country need to think about how we function going forward. We are not a banana republic, although increasingly it feels like one, right? It feels like that. We're going to talk about all this with Jenna Ellis today, who's on the president's legal team. So she's going to be joining me shortly. Meanwhile, I want to get to some other big stories that are out there right now. You know, there's a new poll, or rather a new study out by a professor out of Stony Brook that has a tremendous, tremendous history of being correct on this stuff. And he says 91% chance of Donald Trump winning. You know, this is one where we've seen before the polls just, you know, got it wrong. 2016, every poll got it wrong. No one had any sense of where Americans really were at, right? I mean, I like to think of it this way. We are living in a really challenging time right now where a lot of people on top have benefited from this globalization. And a lot of people on the bottom, they have benefited from all the handouts that we give. And so it's like an hourglass where the middle class is the one that so consistently gets squeezed. You know, you're the poor schmo that's just trying to do things the right way, right? To pay your bills and send your kids to college where, listen, we ought to all rethink that one these days, right? Sending your kids to college so that they can come out and join the protests. That's a whole other brainwashing thing that we are going to get to, by the way, later on in the show with Dan Gaynor, because there's so much concern about culture right now and how the left is trying to infiltrate it in a way that really is not healthy. But nonetheless, you've got so many Americans that are just trying to do the right thing. They're just trying to get by and pay their bills and save a little bit of money for retirement. So they're the ones stuck in that middle class. And they're the ones, the deplorables, if you would, that came out in droves, in ways that no one had expected for Donald Trump in 2016. And now you've got this professor saying 91% chance of Trump winning again. I think there's a good shot at it. I actually do. And the reason for that is because, again, that middle class, which has started to feel a little bit better, but then was pushed right back down, right? Thanks to a virus that came all the way from China. People couldn't go to work. They couldn't open their small businesses. They couldn't go into their hair salon and cut hair or go in and work waiting tables or run their restaurant. Of course, it's totally fine to go march by the thousands. We saw all of those protests. And that was okay. In fact, so okay that nearly 1,300 members of the health community here in America came out with a letter, an open letter, saying it was actually effectively more risky not to protest. So they say, go ahead and protest shoulder to shoulder, but no, you know, you can't go take a walk to the playground with your kids. You can't go on the swing set, and you know, you can't gather for a wedding outside or for a funeral outside or even to go and do your job. So they keep hurting the middle class, and the middle class knows this. I mean, Americans are smart, right? We're smart people. We didn't get here. We didn't get to be the strongest, best, most prosperous, economically significant country in the world without a little bit of know-how. So Americans get this, and I think that this is in part what's going into that new study where this professor says 91% chance. I mean, again, bucking all the trends and all the polls. I mean, who would tell you right now that they're going to support Donald Trump, right? They'd have to be crazy to. A pollster calls up, you don't know who this pollster is. And right now, the left has been so successful in equating sort of the worst of humanity, right, with Donald Trump's supporters. You're a horrible person. That's what they want you to believe. If you actually believe in capitalism, if you believe in freedom, if you believe in a meritocracy, all things that this administration has pushed and has stood for. That's what they want you to think. You are a deplorable and then some. If you ever tell a pollster that you voted for Donald Trump, I mean, it happened in 2016. I remember being in the newsroom and being told, you know, it's going to be an early night. Hillary Clinton has this whole thing locked up because the polls at the time that our news organization had commissioned, everybody told them they voted for Hillary, but it turned out they didn't. I think the same exact thing very well could happen again. Corey Lewandowski is going to be here a little bit later in the show to talk about all that. We've got a whole lot here for you today. Join the conversation. You can call us at 833-33-GORKA. That's 4-6-7-5-2-833-33-GORKA. Back with Corey right after this. Ah, the president's heading up to my hometown in Portsmouth, New Hampshire this weekend. Corey's going to give us a preview. See you here.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you, Seb. Good to be here with all of you today, filling in for my good friend Seb Gorka on America First. You know, that was something, wasn't it? Mount Rushmore of the 4th of July. It almost feels like an eternity ago because so much has happened between now and then. But there's one guy who is a really smart political strategist who was single-handedly, because I think President Trump deserves some of the credit too, but responsible for that winning back in 16, Corey Lewandowski, who ran the campaign. He joins me right now, and he was out there on Mount Rushmore, and he's going to be out there in Portsmouth, New Hampshire this weekend, where the president will be speaking to thousands of people there. Corey, welcome. It's good to have you.
Well, Trish, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be on with you. And, you know, I would say it was very special to be out in Mount Rushmore with the president, but that just doesn't do it the justice that it deserves. It not only was it special, it was an honor and truly a privilege to see fireworks return to that great state and that iconic location. And it was done because of this president and the speech that he gave out there. You know, if that doesn't make you proud to be an American, then, you know, I don't know what does, because I think he hit on all the right tones. It was very, very special. And really, from my time traveling with him over the last 6 or 7 years, one of the highlights of all the things I've been able to do.
Wow. No, that's great to hear. I mean, you could see it. You could feel it. It really had to be such an incredible experience to actually be there. But, you know, not everybody felt that way. I thought it was a phenomenal speech. I thought it was a very measured speech. It was a very patriotic speech. It's exactly the kind of speech you want to hear, right, on the 4th of July, Corey. And yet the media interpreted it as something else entirely, something that's very dark. And I wonder, is this just, this is what they hear? No matter what he says, they're going to hear something else?
You know, it was amazing to me because they said, well, he talked about the Confederacy and the Confederate flag. That's factually not accurate. The only time the president talked about the Civil War was to recognize people like Ulysses S. Grant and Abraham Lincoln and what they did to free slaves. And what he said were lines that I think most Americans agree with. We're a nation of laws. The only time we kneel is before our Creator. We will stand up for the men and women who wear the uniform and protect us, either on the front lines of our battle against terrorism overseas, or the men and women who wear the uniform as the first responders. We stand with them. Those are the values that I believe the vast, vast majority of Americans have. And there is a small subsection of people in this country who want to destroy our heritage. They want to destroy statues of Lincoln and Frederick Douglass and Ulysses S. Grant because they're ignorant and they don't know what they actually mean. But I don't believe that the vast majority of Americans agree with that. And that's why I thought the speech was so powerful. And even in the speech, President Trump relayed the words of Martin Luther King Jr. And it was very powerful, in my opinion, but he gets no credit for that. And instead, he was accused of things that just weren't accurate. And that's why the media, by and large, has lost so much credibility, in my opinion.
Absolutely. No, I mean, the media has an agenda. Effectively, so many members of the media feel as though they're working for the Democratic Party. They're an arm of it, an extension of it. And look, that's always existed, Corey. I mean, that's just the reality, probably going all the way back to the 1960s and sort of Vietnam. And there's this sort of infiltration, if you would, of leftist folks that wanted to be in journalism. But nonetheless, it's reached, I think, a tipping point because people are scared right now. They're scared to have an opinion. They're scared to say that they support the President of the United States. They're scared to push back on anything. And Corey, given your political experience, you saw once before, right, that didn't play so well ultimately.
Well, it didn't. For the Democrats. And what you're hearing, you know, what you're hearing now, Trish, is amazing because even the members of the far left who've now become victims of the cancel culture are asking it for it to end because they've seen what the extremes are doing. You know, guys like Elliot Engel in New York, who served 16 terms in Congress, or Mike Capuano from Massachusetts, who had served 10 terms in Congress, are being thrown out as, you know, and I use this term very carefully, moderate Democrats for the far left, people who simply want to go and maraud through the streets, destroy buildings, throw bricks through windows, rob your businesses. And what did you hear from AOC and the angry mob? Hey, that's okay. You know, we're going to pay reparations to those communities for the businesses that you built. You're going to pay your taxes to those people first. It's amazing how backwards things have become in our country. And look, you know, the president 4 years ago pushed back on the fake narrative from the media. He's pushing back on it again. But I do believe that they have their own agenda. And we're going to look back at this time in our nation's history, 20 and 30 years down the road, and realize that journalism has fundamentally changed. It went from, you know, an organization and a profession that people gave a lot of credence and credibility to. Now they have the same approval rating as members of Congress, which is the low single digits.
Well, you know, you get what you deserve, I guess, given the bias that we've seen. They're not even afraid to hide it. If anything, I think you're taking a bigger risk if you're trying to play it, you know, fair, right down the middle of the fairway. Let me ask you about this, because you mentioned something pretty important, that this is a minority of people, and I agree with you on that. You know, 9 out of 10 folks do not want violence in the street. They do not want businesses being looted. They want to know that their kids, when they, you know, walk to school or walk home from school, are going to be safe. They want their kids to be in school, you know, for schools to actually open. So given that this is a minority, how is it that they're taking over the conversation in such a massive way? Is that the media's fault as well?
It's so easy because the left gives them the platform that they would never give to the right. Think about this. This president is saying, let's close our borders and open our schools, and all of a sudden there's an outcry to that. You know, what the media has done is given these people a platform to go and say and do anything they want with complete impunity, and they are a very, very small minority. When Sean Hannity and others have had people on whose family members were victimized in the CHOP community, no other media coverage covered that. When people push back and say, hey, if this is about Black Lives Matter, how about all the violence in Chicago? Nobody covers it because they don't want to.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, to me, it's a socioeconomic problem. And I'm not going to say that people in minority and urban communities haven't had the same set of opportunities. But I look at how those communities are run. And you've got Democrat mayors. I mean, for goodness sakes, Bill de Blasio, you know, who's slashing the budget there. Minneapolis, for goodness sakes. I mean, Minneapolis, where city council members vote to dismantle the police, and yet, Corey, they're you know, taking $4,500 a day for each of them for their own private security team. This, to me, is irresponsible leadership.
Trish, it is, and you have to remember this. When people have problems, the first three numbers they dial is 911. They don't ask what your race is, your ethnicity is, your sexual orientation, your gender, your economic status. They don't care. The police respond every single time. And by defunding this the police, we are making our community less safe, not more safe. Just ask the people in CHOP whose family members were victimized because there were no police there.
Corey Lewandowski, thank you so much. Hey, maybe I'll see you in New Hampshire this weekend. Corey Lewandowski,
come out to Portsmouth, Trish. I know you're a hometown girl. We would love to have you back.
That'd be great. Thank you. All right, we got a lot more coming up here on American First. America First, I'm Trish Regan, in for Sebastian Gorka today. We're going to talk about these woke universities next.
The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump wants to meet you. This will be the first opportunity he's had to meet with American patriots like you since our country started reopening. His team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP access for yourself and a guest. He'll even take a picture with you. All you have to do is text VIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump. Again, that's VIP to 88022 to enter to win this contest and to join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years. Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Trish Regan in today for Seb Gorka. We got a lot of news going on, including the fact that the Supreme Court just came out with a decision in which they said New York City can get its hands on the president's tax records. They said Congress, however, cannot. There's some debate as to timing here. It's unclear whether or not New York City will get those tax records before the election. But some worry that it will be used, again, as an attempt, should the president be reelected, to go after him in a new way. Impeachment 2.0 or 3.0 or 4.0 at this point, right, because they keep trying everything. I want to encourage you all to partake in this conversation today. It's great to have you here. 833-33-GORKA, which is 833-334-6742. I do believe we have some callers waiting, so I would like to get to Ken right now, who's joining us. Ken, welcome to Sebastian Gorka's America First. Good to hear your voice.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
Very good.
I have a theory. I think we're losing the ideological war, and I'm a Vietnam vet, and I'm 71 years old, and I'll tell you why. After the Vietnam War was over, General Giap said, "You guys won the war militarily, but you lost the ideological war." And the radicals from the 60s went into the educational system, the universities, the colleges, and the schools, and they keep turning out these communist ideologues, which are perfect little warriors for the change that they want.
You know, you make a very, very, very important point. In fact, it's so important, I actually put it in the show today because Dan Gaynor is going to join us from the Media Research Center because he would agree with you 1,000%, as do I. In other words, the culture war effectively, Ken, is being lost. And increasingly, you know, I remember when I went to school and, you know, it wasn't that long ago, you could actually have a conversation. And intellectual diversity was something that I was taught was an important part of your education. I think it has changed, though, drastically. I mean, there were certainly dribs and drabs and examples of bias that you saw even back in my day. But now it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Yes, and I tried to figure out how to apply pressure to this. And I was thinking about intellectual equality. If the university bans a free exchange of ideas, then they should have their granting and funding cut.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point. One of the things that I'm so bothered by, too, is that, you know, you think about families. I was talking earlier in the program about the middle class and this hourglass economy, and you know, you're in the middle and you're struggling and you're saving and you're just getting by, and you want to send your child to school, and you sort of don't qualify, right, for the loans that people on the bottom might be able to get, but it's a big financial commitment, and so it's easy for those on top. It's a little easier maybe because of some of the programs, and I don't say that we shouldn't have them, but you know, in place for people that are struggling more. But those people in the middle, they get really stuck. So you're paying all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to send your kid to a university where they're effectively indoctrinated. You think about these professors that are there, and they have these pretty vulnerable, wonderful, tremendous young minds, right, that are put in their care. And then they teach them, effectively brainwash them, to think only one way and to not tolerate any other viewpoint. Ken, that's what's most troubling to me. We must be accepting of other points of view. You need intellectual diversity. You need intellectual debate, really. I mean, to have progress as a society. I want to make sure that we get a chance to go to one more caller here. Ken, thank you for joining us today. Let me go to Rick in California. Hey there, Rick. Welcome to the program. Welcome to America First.
Hey, good morning. I want to say you're doing a great job, except in the future, I think Dr. Gorka needs permission from a consensus of his to take a vacation from the rest of us. But I wish him well.
I'll tell him you said so. I'll tell him you said so. You know, I saw a picture of him on the beach, and he looked pretty happy. He doesn't get that many vacations, so, you know, we gotta let him have one now and then.
Well, he's a great guy, and you're doing a great job. I got a question for you and a comment. And when you mentioned the Supreme Court, so the Supreme Court's now made a ruling. And in that ruling, can I now demand that my local congressman give me their tax returns? Can I go and say that I want to see, create an organization and go in on a subpoena and say, I want Joe Biden, Hunter Biden's tax returns. I want my, you know, city council people. I want to see their tax returns. I want to see my governor's tax returns. And I want to see Ted Lieu's tax returns. So is that ruling now? Is that precedent where we can now get tax returns? Was this a ruling that we can get the tax returns of the president because of political agendas? Or is this that now people that serve us in Congress or in the government, that we can now get access to government for, you know, anyone in government, that we get their tax returns?
Well, I think this is specific just to President Trump right now, but you bring up an important point, because it is sort of a slippery slope. And if you're going to go for one, might as well go for them all, right? And that will discourage a lot of people, a lot of talented people, from running for office. We have a whole lot more here. I'm Trish Regan.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
How dare he take a vacation? I hope he's having a lot of fun. I do believe I mentioned this earlier, but he's on a beach somewhere with his wife and much deserved. Seb Gorka, thanks for having me in for you today. A lot of things going on. The president of Mexico is at the White House today. We have Ken Cuccinelli here with us on that. Plus, I first want to start with this kind of new rule, if you would, from ICE that basically will kick any foreign student out of the country if they're taking 100% of their classes online. I mean, makes sense to me. You get these woke universities scrambling, I suppose. Maybe they figure they got to open up and at least teach a class or two on campus, because if not, they could lose a whole big chunk of their revenue, right? All of that money that comes here from China and the Middle East, India, all these students that we're educating here, ICE saying, you know what, if you are taking 100% of your classes online, you can do that just as easily in your home country. Joining me right now is Ken Cuccinelli, the Acting Deputy Director for the Department of Homeland Security. So good to have you here, sir.
Trish, good to be back on the show again.
So tell me about this. You know, there's a lot of fancy schmancy schools out there that are charging plenty of money, and they're making plenty of money off of foreign students, and they're saying, well, we may not open. Do you think this might encourage some of them to maybe have a class or two?
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, it's important for people to realize that the starting point, the current regulation allows only one online class. So if you come here as a foreign student, the most online classes you can take is one under the regulations. Because of COVID, we're offering the most extraordinary flexibility we ever have in terms of how schools handle this coming semester. Some of them are changing their schedules. Some of them are doing mixes of online and in person. And the basic approach we've been taking is that as long as schools don't go to 100% online, then people can come in and join that school. And that doesn't, you know, I haven't encountered a lot of people outside of the universities who find that to be too unreasonable.
Really, really interesting. No, you're right. It actually, it's a very flexible policy. It's a very generous policy, if you ask me. The way it's been interpreted in the media was, you know, President Trump's kicking foreign students out. So there's a little more nuance, if
like to play it. Yeah. But really what we're doing is we're expanding the flexibility that universities have had beyond anything they've ever seen. So, you know, it's they want to cast anything as negative. The way I say it is if President Trump wears a red tie, they'll sue him. And if he wears a green tie, they'll sue him. You know, so we must be doing something right because Harvard and MIT are suing us over this. So
That's pretty interesting. Let me turn to the news of the day here. You've got the president of Mexico, President Obrador, at the White House. And it sounds like things are going well between us and Mexico.
Phyllis, you know, you remember a year ago spring, and the president was being historically tough with Mexico, mm-hmm. threatening to close the border or impose tariffs because of the perceived lack of cooperation on illegal immigration, even as it was spiking. And he was getting complaints from Republicans and Democrats alike. But you know what? It worked. And we now, over a year later, have the best cooperative partnership running with Mexico, both economically and as it relates to border security, that we've ever had. And that's all thanks to President Trump and his unique leadership and our ability to execute on both his demands and his promises. And Mexico is one of our very biggest trading partners. Of course, the new USMCA went into effect this month, which is a big deal to both the Mexican president as well as our president. It was part of his 2016 campaign promises was to fix NAFTA, and he did it. And a part of our responsibilities at the Department of Homeland Security, we handle the trade at the border. So this is we play a big role in all of this. So success to celebrate.
I thought it was actually pretty innovative at the time because, you know, I look at a lot of things through an economic lens, and this is a president who does exactly that as well, through an economic lens, through a business lens. And, you know, when you've got Congress not willing to give you any help on the illegal immigration front, he was able to be, I think, very creative in terms of saying, okay, well then, guess what? You're going to be looking at tariffs. You're going to be looking at taxes, effectively, Mexico, if you can't manage this. And all of a sudden, Mexican authorities were a little bit more willing to play ball. Right? I mean, so it was in their financial interest to make sure that they cooperated with us on that.
Yes. And, you know, for a long time, trade relations between the United States and other countries have been almost a form of voluntary world welfare where we get into deals that are inherently better for the other side than for us. And we pat ourselves on the back and say, look how big-hearted we are. Instead of bringing a business attitude, which is what President Trump brings, and says, hey, what we have is more valuable to you than what you have is to us. And that's not belittling any country. That's just the facts of where things stand in the bargaining process. And so when he goes around the world renegotiating our agreements, look at what he's done with China. They, you know, there's a reason they don't appreciate him too much is because he's the toughest president on China that we've had in a long, long time. But he gets better deals for Americans and for the American economy. And but I would say with our neighbors, Canada and Mexico, there's real advantage to seeking mutual benefit. And USMCA leads to better outcomes in Mexico and in the United States. And frankly, I mentioned China. We'd love to see some of those businesses move from China to Mexico if they don't come back here to the U.S.
I'm going
to
let you in on a little secret, Ken. When I was an undergrad at Columbia University, I wrote a paper on exactly that, that you may one day see a world in which the Western Hemisphere, right, you've got North and South America, is really working as one block together. You've got Asia, you've got Europe, but I think that, you know, having that, and this goes back to Monroe Doctrine, really. I mean, you want to have your hemisphere be a safe and prosperous
place. But it's
a
very positive, economically optimistic way to view it, and that's the way this president views it, and he's pursued policies that make it happen.
Ken, so good to talk to you. Thank you so much. We got a lot more coming up. I am Trish Regan in for Seb Gorka today on America First. We're going to talk about the Squad wanting to defund the police. They want reparations for all. Wait till you hear what's in store.
America First, MAGA-nificent.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Trish Regan, at Trish underscore Regan, filling in for Dr. Seb Gorka today on America First. It's good to see you all. You can join the conversation here, 1-833-33-GORKA, 1-833-33-4-6-7-5-2. You know, if the Squad gets its way, Rashida Tlaib and AOC and all their friends, if they get their way, they will defund the police. There will be reparations for all. They've introduced it in this new bill that they're touting. And frankly, I really worry about what would happen to our country under those circumstances. You know, you think about it in theory, and it doesn't actually seem as though it could be real, because so much of what they talk about is really, frankly, utter nonsense. But it's been tried before. I mean, go around the world anywhere you want, right? Most recent case study of this is Venezuela, where just about 20 years ago, Hugo Chavez came to power and increasingly pushed this kind of dictatorship filled with socialism, you know, on its way to communism, into that country. And in the span of 20 years, Venezuela has gone from having the highest per capita income in all of Latin America to the lowest. And we can't let that happen to us. I mean, I saw it. I remember my first job was watching Venezuelan politics and their economy at a bank where we were trading their sovereign debt. Not to bore you with those details, but we thought, it won't be that bad, right? He won't be that bad. You don't think it can be that bad. And you know what? It is that bad. There are people starving in that country now. And again, take your pick. I don't know, Cuba, Cambodia, the former USSR. It never works. It never works. So, I wish the Squad would actually do a little bit of international studies themselves so that they could understand why all of those things have failed so terribly. Do we have time to take a call? I wanted to go to Jimmy, who's joining us on the line. Jimmy, welcome to America First.
Yes, I'm here. The communists for decades have been writing and teaching that capitalism is racism. To destroy racism, you have to destroy capitalism. I'm seeing now for the first time in their writings, anti-communism is racism. Mm-hmm. So this is a massive movement. Now, the communists believe that communism will only work if it's the entire world. That's why they think, even though the other examples of it failed, mm-hmm. they believe it's in the writings of Lenin that the whole world has to be communist for it to work. And to the whole world communist movement, America was always enemy number one. So if they could topple America, the whole world could turn socialist and communist.
And we'd have a real problem. Jimmy, you're right, and we can't go in that direction. That would be devastating for us and the world. We'll be back right after this.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.